Today, brace for market uncertainty. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World. Now, this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. And this past week saw markets lower, with the MSCI Global Index down another 1.58% and down nearly 4% over the past month. Wall Street's main indices closed for their second consecutive week in the red, even as the US dollar was stronger, with the US dollar index futures up 0.44% to 109.67, which will put further pressure on other economies around the world, including Australia. Unexpected strong December payroll data, with the US economy adding far more than expected jobs last month, hammered hopes for lower interest rates, though stocks did close off their session lows as the US economy added 256,000 jobs last month. That's the most since March, while the unemployment rate fell to 4.1%. This bolstered the case for a pause in Federal Reserve interest rate cuts. The data also reignited concerns about inflation, which remained stubbornly above the Fed's 2% target, with average hourly earnings growing, rising 0.3% from November to $35.69, and that represents a 3.9% increase from December 2023. Bond yields continue to climb, with the haunting risk of higher rates for longer putting more pressure on some stocks ahead of the Trump 2.0 agenda turning from speculation to reality in the next couple of weeks. Longer-dated US Treasury yields, which move inversely to prices, jumped to their highest level since November 2023, with the 10-year hitting a high of 4.79%. Yields have gained around 20 basis points since the beginning of the year amid a global government bond sell-off that's hit UK government bonds particularly hard, pushing 30-year gilt yields to their highest since 1998. Outside of bonds, rising US Treasury yields could dampen investor interest in stocks and other high-risk assets by tightening financial conditions and increasing borrowing costs for businesses and individuals. Traders now see the Fed lowering borrowing costs for the first time in June and then staying steady for the rest of the year, although Bank of America Global Research is now forecasting a potential rate hike, saying that the Federal Reserve's rate-cutting cycle is over. However, Chicago Fed President Austin Goodsby said there is no evidence the economy is overheating again. He still expects it will be appropriate to lower interest rates further, but other Fed speak was more hawkish. For example, Kansas City Federal Reserve President Jeff Schmidt signaled a reluctance to cut interest rates again. "I believe we are near the point where the economy needs neither restriction nor support, and that policy should be neutral," he said. And Fed Governor and well-known hawk Michelle Bowman said she supported last month's interest rate cut as the final step in the central bank's monetary policy recalibration. The Fed's wait for the data tilt is really becoming a bit of a, well, bad joke. Morgan Stanley's economics team said there are three reasons for the US economy's strength: labor market income that continues to outpace inflation, second, household net worth continues to underpin consumer spending while pushing the savings ratio lower, and spending on autos, which have been boosted by pent-up demand from the pandemic, storm-related effects, and some pull forward of demand for EVs that may reflect the expectation that tax credits will expire in the coming year. All up, though, US stocks sold off on Friday, with the S&P 500 erasing its 2025 gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.63% to 41,938. The S&P 500 lost 1.54% to 5,826. And the Nasdaq Composite lost 1.63% to 19,160. Chip stocks such as Nvidia dropped around 3%, weighed down by reports that the US could announce new export regulations. Constellation Energy soared 25.16% after agreeing to buy privately held natural gas and geothermal company Calpine Corp for $16.4 billion, while Constellation Brands fell 17.09% after cutting its annual sales and profit forecasts. Walgreens Boots Alliance jumped 27.55% after reporting an upbeat quarterly profit. The domestically focused small cap Russell 2000 index also fell 2.27%, slipping into correction territory as it was down 10.4% from its November 25th closing high. And Wall Street's fear gauge hit a three-week high on Friday, up 8.14% to 1954. Adding to the Dow mood, a University of Michigan survey showed consumer sentiment dropped to 73.2 in January from the previous month. Assessments of personal finances did improve about 5% this month from last, while the economic outlook fell back 7% for the short run and 5% for the long run. Year-ahead inflation expectations, though, soared to 3.3% this month from 2.8% last month. That said, people are expecting price rises as tariffs arrive, so are more willing to buy larger items now to beat them. And from the Fed's minutes, it appears fresh inflation worries have taken the spotlight, compelling the Fed to issue a cautious forecast on monetary easing last month as it anticipates policy changes on trade and immigration under President-elect Donald Trump, who is expected to take office in just 10 days' time now. JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup and Wells Fargo are set to release quarterly results next week as the US fourth quarter reporting season begins, and the S&P 500 is currently expected to report earnings growth of around 11.7% for the fourth quarter, which would mark the highest year-over-year growth rate reported by the index since the final months of 2021. But as the Mag 7 struggles with the law of large numbers, a big question for 2025 is whether the rest of the market is ready to make up the difference. Oil settled at a three-month high, lifting on more US sanctions against Russia. Crude oil for delivery in February rose 3.65% to hit $76.57 a barrel, while the Brent March oil contract rose 3.6% to trade at $79.79. Oil prices were also buoyed as extreme cold in the US and Europe lifted demand for heating oil. All sounds pretty inflationary to me. Gold futures gained 0.9% to $2,715 an ounce on Friday, having reached a four-week high thanks to safe haven demand amid investors' uncertainty about the economic and inflationary impact of US President-elect Donald Trump's policies. Overseas traders' confidence in the pound has taken its biggest dive this week for a third straight session of declines since the 2022 UK budget crisis ended at 1.2208 against the US dollar, as a global bond sell-off added to growing knees over Britain's finances, with Britain's government bond market in the crosshairs as the 30-year gilt yield hit a 27-year high and the 10-year benchmark reached levels not seen since 2008. This puts Britain's finance minister under pressure as concerns over Trump's policies have pushed the British government's borrowing costs higher. And even though those gilt yield rises are largely in line with what's happening in the US treasuries, a worrying development in the UK is that sterling has turned tail too and has stopped following domestic yields higher, though the pound did recover some ground from Thursday's 40-month low against the dollar. Bank of England Deputy Governor Sarah Breeden said a rate cut was supported by recent evidence, although it was difficult to know how quickly. The Treasury's assurance that it has an iron grip on the UK's finances has returned some stability to UK assets, but we will see about that. There is a huge amount of uncertainty about what the Bank of England could or should react to, and I think from that point of view, it's not that surprising that the options market is reflecting that uncertainty, Rabobank said. The UK markets underperformed on Friday because those soaring gilt yields are likely to act as an additional headwind to growth via household remortgaging and weaker investment. The exporter-heavy FTSE was down 0.86%, but still notched its third straight weekly advance, while the two-year gilt was at 4.586. British mid-cap stocks, though, logged their biggest weekly decline in more than a year on Friday, as the FTSE 250 index, which is made up of companies that closely track the domestic economy, fell 1.4% to an eight-month low. European stock markets closed low on Friday too, despite the US jobs report. The DAX index in Germany fell 0.5% as political uncertainty continues, and the CAC 40 in France was down 0.79% as French industrial production figures surprised to the upside in November, rising 0.2% on the month, an improvement from the revised lower drop of 0.3% the prior month. With the Eurozone economy seen to be in a much weaker state, the ECB is widely expected to cut interest rates at least four times in 2025. Jay Sainsbury stock fell 4.3% after the retailer reported its third quarter trading update, and despite strong grocery sales during Christmas, weaker performance in non-grocery segments and margin pressures weighed. And Mercedes-Benz stock rose over 3.7% after the German auto giant reported its fourth quarter sales were up 5% from the previous quarter, but still down 2% on an annual basis. Ubisoft Entertainment stock fell over 1.6% after the French video game maker announced that it has appointed strategic advisors to pursue its options following reports last year that the company's backers were considering a buyout. Insurers dropped 2.3%, with those having a large exposure to the Los Angeles wildfires, such as Beazley and Hiscox, leading losses. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, marking a weak end to their first full trading week of 2025, as investors remained on edge over a slower pace of US interest rate cuts and a potential hike from the Bank of Japan. Weak inflation data from China released earlier this week weighed on sentiment, as did increased speculation over President-elect Donald Trump's plans for trade tariffs against the country. Inflation numbers from China on Thursday showed the country still battling pervasive deflationary pressures. China's central bank is expected to deploy this year its most aggressive monetary tactics in a decade as it tries to stimulate the economy and soften the blow of impending US tariff hikes. But in doing so, it risks exhausting its firepower. Friday's announcement by the People's Bank of China that it suspended treasury bond purchases due to the asset scarcity highlighted the limitations of its resources as it confronts an increasingly challenging economic environment. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices fell around 0.3% each, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng index was flat. All three indices were down for weekly losses, with the Hang Seng falling 2.2% after Tencent Holdings, one of its biggest constituents, was added to a US blacklist this week. The addition, which was still done under the Biden administration, raised concerns over just how much harsher US rhetoric against China will turn once Trump takes office on January the 20th. Japanese stocks headed for a third straight day in the red, as stronger than expected wages and private spending data spurred bets that the Bank of Japan will hike rates in January. The Nikkei 225 fell 0.6%, while the Topix lost 0.5%. Both indices were down 1% and 2.2% respectively for the week. The Japanese yen strengthened 0.17% to 158.06 per dollar, and government data on Thursday showed Japan's inflation-adjusted real wages fell for the fourth straight month in November, weighed down by higher prices even as base pay grew at the fastest pace in more than three decades. Analyst at Goldman Sachs believes the discussion at the January branch managers meeting supports their view of a January rate hike from the Bank of Japan. Household spending data read stronger than expected for November, coming just a day after data showed a bigger than expected increase in average cash earnings. The strong spending data comes as Japanese earners continue to benefit from bumper wage hikes won in early 2024. Analysts say that strong spending factored into the Bank of Japan's expectations of a virtuous cycle of increased inflation and could invite an interest rate hike from the central bank by as soon as January. South Korea's KOSPI was flat amidst continued political turmoil in the country, but for tech companies there was good news from Taiwan, with the world's largest contract chip maker, TSMC, reporting fourth quarter revenue that easily beat forecasts as it reaped the benefit of AI demand. India's Nifty 50 index fell 0.4% on Friday and was lowered by 2.39% across the week, with a string of key Indian corporate earnings due, but the index was nursing steep losses in recent weeks amid waning confidence in the Indian economy. The ASX fell on the final day of trading in the week in Australia, as a gloomy outlook for Wall Street trading ahead of a key jobs report pushed the index lower. The ASX 200 reversed modest gains earlier in the session to close at 8,294.1 points. That's down 0.4%. That said, the index rose after 5 days trading 0.5% higher after reversing some gains on Friday. 10 of the share market's 11 sectors closed in the red on Friday. Banks led the share market low ahead of the US jobs report, with Westpac 1.7% down to $30.60 after analysts at Morgan Stanley downgraded the bank. Commonwealth Bank fell 1.7% to $156.05, NAB fell 1.1% to $37.95, and Macquarie fell 1.2%. ANZ's losses were less severe than its fellow Big Four banks after Morgan Stanley upgraded the bank to equal weight with a price target of $27.80. Shares edged 0.3% lower to $29.29. In Australia, inflation appears to be less of a concern as ANZ became the second bank to move forward the timing of the first Australian rate cut to February from May following Westpac, despite strong retail sales figures as we discussed yesterday. Miners closed higher, buoyed by strength in iron ore prices. Iron ore futures in Singapore added 1% to $97.35 overnight on Thursday, then traded flat for much of Friday's session. Rio Tinto rose 2.2% to $119.04, and BHP added 1% to $39.68. But in corporate news, Star Entertainment fell 15.8%, extending heavy losses in the previous session. Shares were down 42% this week as concerns grow about the viability of the embattled casino operator, which warned late on Wednesday that it had just $79 million in cash on hand. Insignia Financial rose 2% to $4.12 after denying reports in the Australian newspaper that Brookfield was weighing up a bid for the wealth giant. And on Monday, CC Capital put forward a $2.9 billion cash offer, rivaling a separate bid from Bain Capital. Shares have risen by more than 50% since CC Capital brought forward the bid. The Australian dollar's slump against the US greenback to around levels last recorded in the 2020 pandemic and the 2008 global financial crisis has a lot of people talking. The Aussie dollar ended the week 0.4% lower against the greenback, touching a new two-year low of 61.47 US cents. There are, of course, consequences. A weaker currency is stimulatory for the economy and inflation, while a stronger exchange rate slows the economy and helps cool inflation. With the Aussie hovering around 62 cents since December, Australians are finding it more expensive to travel overseas, while foreign travellers are taking advantage of their bigger spending power in Australia, according to travel agents. Investment bankers are bracing for more US companies to take advantage of the exchange rate to launch takeover bids for Australian targets. That's already started with the New York headquartered CC Capital Partners' $2.9 billion offer this week for ASX-listed wealth firm Insignia Financial, as I discussed. The sharp decline in the Aussie from around 70 cents in September has made local property more attractive for foreign investors, according to buyer's agents, and meanwhile petrol prices are higher. Treasurer Jim Chalmers' budget is also quietly getting a revenue boost because Australia's largest export, iron ore, is priced in US dollars. The government receives a higher company tax take from miners when the US dollar is stronger against the Aussie. More negatively, if the slump in the Aussie dollar deepens or persists, it will add to inflation due to more expensive imports and become a consideration for the Reserve Bank in future interest rate decisions, although it hasn't reached that point yet. The weakness versus the greenback is overwhelmingly a story of American dollar strength. Against other currencies, the Aussie is modestly lower as measured on the trade-weighted index, which the RBA pays more attention to. It was at 50.33 against the UK pound, despite the issues that we discussed earlier. Two factors have pushed down the Aussie over the past few months. American economic exceptionalism is back in vogue, and China's indebted economy is weak. US economic growth is faster, and interest rates are higher than other advanced economies. That means the US dollar is both a safe haven and a growth asset. Investors are also betting that President-elect Donald Trump's planned tariffs will weaken the Chinese economy. China is Australia's largest export market, so the obvious way to play that is to sell the Aussie dollar. But petrol prices are not immune from the weaker Australian dollar, given Australia imports petroleum from overseas. Stronger international crude oil prices and a weaker currency has pushed up national domestic retail pump prices to a weekly average of around 186.9 cents a litre, near a four-month high and above the two-year low of 156.8 cents a litre from mid-October. In real estate, Kitty Parker, a buyer's agent servicing the eastern suburbs of Sydney, says that as the US dollar strengthens, there is more interest from overseas in the Australian property market. Historically, a weaker Australian dollar has made property prices here more attractive to foreign buyers, particularly those from the US and Asia, driving up demand, she says. This influx could lead to further price increases, making it even tougher for first home buyers to enter the market. While everyone has been obsessed with the plunge in the Aussie dollar from its recent peak in September against the greenback, the RBA takes a much more sober view of the currency. As RBA Governor Michelle Bullock has said, the central bank pays more attention to the so-called trade weighted index, the TWI. That's the price of the Australian dollar in terms of a basket of foreign currencies based on other countries' share of trade with Australia. The value of the TWI reflects how changes in the exchange rates are most likely to feed into domestic inflation pressures via both imports and export prices. The TWI is a bit weaker because the iron ore price has recently dipped below $100 a ton amid concerns about China's weaker economy. The Aussie is a quasi-commodity currency and a proxy for some investors to bet on China. The TWI is trending around the bottom of a range in the past 2 years, but hasn't fallen nearly as steeply as the Aussie versus the greenback. There would need to be a sustained downward movement in the TWI for the RBA to become worried about the weaker currency being inflationary. Lucy Ellis, the Westpac chief economist and former RBA assistant governor, said, while the depreciation so far does increase the cost of petrol and holidays in the US, its overall effect on inflation will be marginal. Short-lived moves in exchange rates tend not to flow through to domestic prices. Movements against other currencies, as captured by the trade weight index, have been much more muted than the US dollar. But Hugh Mackay, former BHP chief economist and visiting fellow at the ANU, said in recent times, despite commodity prices being well above their long-term average, the RBA did not raise interest rates high enough versus foreign central banks. Mackay warns that if the gap between the low currency and high commodity prices closes at some point, the adjustment could be painful for Australia. Closing the gap through currency prices coming down or the currency going up would be a big squeeze and would be the opposite of the expansionary forces we've had in the past. And in crypto, Bitcoin was back below 100k US again. It was last at 94,580. And a new research paper examines what could happen to Bitcoin if US inflation starts rising and the economy slows. In a new research paper, Fidelity Investments Digital Assets posits that the performance of Bitcoin and digital assets could be impacted by stagflation. But it also depends on how the Fed responds. They say that stagflation, that's a scenario where economic growth is stagnant and inflation rises, is a potential concern. The authors draw parallels to the 1970s and 1980s, where high inflation rates persisted in waves. The central bank thought that it might have tamed inflation, only to see it come back again and again. While it is impossible to predict with any certainty if that will happen now, inflation rates have remained sticky and ticked back up after hitting a low of 2.1% in September. While acknowledging that inflation rates are not near the levels they were in the 70s and 80s, the parallel does remain. Combine this with continued large and structural fiscal deficits, along with a Fed that has now embarked on a rate-cutting cycle, and it is not difficult to imagine inflation coming back in a second wave, they wrote. And if the Fed's response to stagflation is to raise rates and reduce the money supply, Bitcoin and digital assets could suffer. However, if the Fed responds by increasing liquidity and lowering rates, that could be beneficial to the digital assets, as it has been historically. And elsewhere, the US government has been allowed to liquidate 69,307 Bitcoins seized from the Silk Road marketplace. Liquidation, however, may negatively impact Bitcoin prices, already struggling to gain momentum, as we discussed. And being in the final days of his tenure as chair of the US SEC, Gary Gensler reiterated his concerns about the crypto industry, arguing that it was rife with bad actors. Gensler noted that the public is well informed about Bitcoin, but he also points out that there are some between 10,000 and 15,000 ventures lacking fundamental support, stating that they are largely driven by sentiment rather than fundamentals. The chair expressed skepticism about the survival of many of those projects, comparing them to venture capital investments, and adding that there is also a fair amount of pump and dump schemes. Not all cryptos are equal. And so, standing back, we are right in the zone of uncertainty. with expectations of higher for longer rates back on the table, with a strong US dollar likely to break something elsewhere. All up, we continue to expect periods of severe volatility and lower growth trajectory. So no surprise to see more holding cash and waiting to see what plays out. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.